Show me your face, fill up this space. My world needs you right now. My world needs you right now. I can't escape being afraid. Fill me with you. My world needs you right now.
Show me your face, fill up the space. My world needs you right now. My world needs you right now. I can't escape.
Yes! showed me your face. Come fill this space. My world needs you right now. My world needs you.
Good evening, beloved. Welcome to KEBN Radio and CBS with Dr. Irie. That's Community Bible Study, where you'll find healthy theology, responsible scholarship, and the beloved community. So glad you joined us this evening. I'll be right back with our lesson. Beloved, tonight our lesson is going to take a personal spin, a little bit of a personal spin. I'll share throughout the message some personal testimony. But I've come to believe that in most cases, the reason we fail to achieve, accomplish, and actualize is this: we're in our own way. So tonight's message, Get Out of Your Way, hits home for me, as it might for you as well. So sit back, get your Bibles, turn to John chapter 8, verse 31, and I'll be right back. In John chapter 8, verse 31, the text reads like this: Then Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Whew, those are heavy-duty words that Jesus was speaking to those who believed in him, those Jews who had come to believe that he was indeed the Christ, the Son of the living God. And I think I find here three principles that can help us understand what it means to be in our own way and to get out of our way. In fact, I think there are three principles, and all of those principles are based on some aspect of truth or the truth and how we respond to the truth, what Jesus was talking about in this passage. To be in our way means that we are inhibiting, we are prohibiting our own selves from achieving, from accomplishing, and from actualizing. We are our own worst enemy. Often we play the blame game. You know, there's always a reason, and the reason is outside of ourselves as to why we fail or why we're not accomplishing some wonderful thing in our lives. We have a tendency to blame our family. We blame our partners. We blame our children. We blame our parents. We blame the system. And let me tell you, sometimes the system is to blame for the challenges that we face. Sometimes our parents are to blame for the internal struggles that we have. One of the things I get to do, one of the ministries that I've been blessed to be a part of, works with and serves children and women who have been abused, who have been abandoned and neglected and raped and violated in the most heinous ways. And some of those violations have been perpetrated by people who were supposed to love them, like their parents, like their grandparents, like a school teacher, like a police officer, like someone that the world looks at with respect, but privately and secretly, they have wreaked havoc in people's lives. And so they are to blame. They are a reason why children grow up with poor self-esteem and self-hatred and feelings like they aren't good enough. And so those situations do occur. And there also comes a time when we become adults and we are given opportunities to address those issues and change our lives so that we can achieve and accomplish and actualize. So at that point, we have an opportunity to do something different, but many choose not to. And so I think this text in John 8:31 will help us. And so I want to look at three ways that we can begin exploring that will help us get out of our way. So that's what I want to do tonight. Well, number one, I want to begin with the first thing. If you want to get out of your way, if you want to stop being the one who stops you from becoming the man or the woman that you believe you're able to be or to accomplish the success in life that you want, whatever it is, you know, success is different based on the person, based on what's within us. And so the first thing I think this text helps us to see is that we have to admit the truth about how we see ourselves. Admit the truth about how you see yourself. You know, that's in the 12-step program. The first step to recovery is to admit you got a problem, right? And that's to admit you have a problem, not that your wife has a problem or that your husband has a problem or that your children have a problem, but you have a problem. So we can't get out of our own way if we don't admit that we're in our own way, if we don't come to see and come to really critically analyze our situations and see ourselves as getting in our own way. You know, several years ago, and here comes my personal testimony. Several years ago, okay, many, many years ago, I remember that I took inventory of my life and my relationships, and I continued to see that the relationships that I was in, that I continued to get in, were pretty much the same. I continued to become involved with men who were unavailable emotionally, sometimes even physically, but who were unable or unwilling to love and care for me the way that I needed to be loved and cared for. And finally, I had to say to myself, boy, and you know this was hard, I had to admit, you know, the problem seems to be that you're the common denominator, right? That I was the one constant. And so maybe, just maybe, the problem wasn't necessarily with the men, but it was with me and who I invited or allowed or who I was attracted to. And so I had to begin looking at myself. And as I began to open myself up to look at myself, it's amazing. And it was amazing to me how God provided answers. You see, when I begin to be open about telling myself the truth about how I saw myself, my reality, I began to realize because God allowed people to come into my life to show me things And the people God sent into my life weren't even talking to me directly. Let me give you an example. One day I was at Sunday school, and my Sunday school teacher, because at that time I was a parole officer and I worked with people with various backgrounds, various unhealthy backgrounds. And so my Sunday school teacher had given me this brochure. And the brochure that she handed me was given to her by another sister in our Bible study who was in counseling. And she was in counseling because of childhood sexual abuse. And my Sunday school teacher gave me this brochure because she knew the women and men that I worked with. And she thought her intentions for giving it to me was to help me better help the men and women that I was working with as a parole officer. And so I didn't look at the brochure. I got in my car and I threw it in the back of my car. Then weeks later, shows you what my car might have looked like. But weeks later, I decided, okay, let me clean out the back of my car. And I picked up this brochure. And here's what it said. Long-term negative effects on women with a history of child sexual abuse. Yes, I read it. And I looked at all of these characteristics. Do you know what one of the characteristics of a woman with a history of childhood sexual abuse? The inability to obtain and maintain healthy interpersonal relationships. Well, that's what I had been going through. And so for the first time, I was able to see that, first of all, what happened to me as a child, there was a name for it. I was 28 years old at the time. I had no idea. There was a name for it. It was childhood sexual abuse, and it was not only a sin against me, but it was a crime. Child abuse, sexual abuse was a crime. And so because I finally in my life got to a point where I could admit the truth about myself, that I was open to hearing and seeing the truth about myself, the universe set in motion, God set in motion opportunities for me to go deeper within my own self. And so if you want to get out of your own way, people, you have got to get to a place where you are willing and open to admit the truth about how you see yourself. Admit the truth about your life. Admit the truth about what's really going on. Maybe the truth is that I'm the problem. Maybe you're the problem. Maybe you're insecure. Maybe you have self-doubts. Maybe you're fearful. Maybe you're depressed. Maybe you procrastinate. Maybe you're dishonest. Maybe you're hateful. Maybe you're angry. Admit the truth about yourself. And when you open your life up to truth, you give God an opportunity to help you. You give the Lord an opportunity to set things in motion in your life so that you can begin to get out of your own way. So that's number one. You want to get out of your own way, admit the truth about how you see yourself. Admit the truth about what's really going on with you emotionally and spiritually. Number two, once you've admitted the truth and things begin to surface, the next thing is to discover a different truth. You see, because I spent so much of my time focusing on the truth, focusing on the fact that I was fearful, that I was insecure, that I had self-doubts, that I really didn't believe that I was good enough, pretty enough, smart enough, intelligent enough, then I had to admit that, but also discover, is that the only truth? Is that even really true? Now, it's true about how I see myself and how I feel about myself, but is it true? And so I had to discover a different truth, which meant for me going on a journey of truth. And so I remind you this idea about discovering a different truth. Jesus said, if you seek, you will find. If you knock, the door will be opened, right? If you ask, you will receive. And so when we discover, seek to discover a new truth, a different truth from the truth that we believed all of our lives about ourselves or that we believe presently, maybe we'll discover something different. Maybe we'll discover a different truth. Is there a different truth, right? Is it true that that I am unworthy? Is it true that I am not good enough? Is that true? Well, when we seek to discover a new truth, we will find, yes, indeed, there is a different truth. You see, God has gifted you. God has created you to be creative. You are capable. You're not capable of doing everything, but you are certainly capable of doing some things. You are powerful. You have power to become. You have power to change your life. You have power to become what God has put in you. You know, there's a passage in, I think, the book of Ephesians, and the writer says that you are God's masterpiece. Paul says, in fact, he's talking to the church, and he includes himself. He says, we are God's masterpiece, created in Christ for good works. You are a masterpiece. That is a truth, and that is a truth that will never, ever change. And as I started on my discovery for a different truth, I realized that I had to base my life, or I had to discover a truth that could not, would not ever change. So what did that mean? That meant that my truth, or this different truth, could not be based on another human being's assessment of me. Yes, it is important, and it was important that my mother think I'm valuable and that my mother thinks I'm important. It's important, and it was important that my boss believed that I was a good worker, right? But I could not base my truth of my value on what other people thought of me. And for me, the only place that I discovered or that I thought could give me a truth about myself that would never change was in the truth that God believed about me. So I began this truth search by searching the scriptures, by looking for God's assessment of who I was. And it was there in the scriptures that I discovered that I was gifted by God, that I was a dearly loved daughter of God, that I was powerful, that I had something to offer the world, that I was unique. And so I want you to know, as you listen to this broadcast, that it is possible to discover a different truth. It is possible to come to believe that you are capable, because you are. It's possible to come to believe that you have something to offer the world, something that nobody else has and can contribute, because you are unique. God made you uniquely you. And so begin to discover a different truth. Not only must we, if we want to get out of our own way, if we want to discover a different truth, if we want to get our own way, we have to discover a different truth. But here's what we must also do. Each day, we must choose to continue. Jesus told those people that he was talking to, the Jews, he said, if you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. When Jesus speaks of continuing in his word, this word is logos. And the word logos is is logic. It's a way of reasoning. It is a way of thinking. It is a way of coming to a conclusion. And so Jesus says, continue in my word, continue in my logos, continue in my way of reasoning and thinking about things. You see, the way the world reasons, way the world makes sense of things, it requires at some point evidence. We are an evidence-based society. But here, Jesus is advising believers that continuing in his logos or continuing in his words means the evidence may not always be clear. It means walking by faith and not by sight. You see, there will be times when life doesn't make sense. There will be times when your life doesn't make sense. Listen, it does not make sense that a child, a girl child that was sexually abused on numerous occasions by numerous people would grow up to then be a voice for the voiceless, to be a voice for other men and women and children who have been victimized. It is unlikely. It makes no sense that I should be working and serving in a ministry to women who have been prostituted, women who have been sexually abused and raped and been victims of incest, by mentoring them and showing the love of Christ to them and helping them to discover the women they were always meant to be. It doesn't make sense that that's my life, but it is. You see, following the logos of Jesus means it may not make sense. Means it won't always add up. Meaning we won't be able to trace the hand of God just by looking at our pedigree, just by looking at how much money we have in the bank, right? It will not make sense. And so Jesus said, continue in my word, continue in my logos, continue in my teaching. Why would he tell them that? He says, because when you do that, you are truly my disciples. Now, this word disciple, it means to be a learner. It means to be a learner. So it means that if we continue in the reasoning, in the logos, if we continue in the teaching and the mentoring and the modeling of Jesus Christ, we will learn from him. We will learn to be and to think of ourselves in ways that contradict everything that we've been through, everything that we've experienced. It won't make sense, but it'll be true. It won't make sense, but it will be the truth. It won't make sense, but it will make you free. It will free you from the bondage of your past. It will free you from the shackles around your mind that have you thinking that you are not good enough, that you can't do it, that you can't accomplish, that everybody else is smarter, better than you. You will refuse to believe those lies because you're free now. You're free to think. You're free to be. And so each day, we must choose to continue. We must choose to consciously and intentionally believe and live in the truth of who we are, which means we are to take responsibility for our own happiness. We take responsibility for our own lives. That's how we get out of our own way. Beloved, you want to get out of your way? Admit the truth about how you see yourself. Begin a process of self-discovery. Choose, discover a different truth. Discover that the truth that you have believed may not really be all there is. There may be a different truth. And once you embrace that new truth, that different truth, each day, choose to continue in it. Choose to consciously and intentionally believe and live in the truth that you are all that, that you are a wonderful creation, that you are powerful, that you are capable, that you have something to offer the world that is unique. Beloved, I want to thank you for joining me this evening on KEBN Radio and CBS with Dr. Irie. I want you to know that I love you, but more than that, God loves you. God loves you so much more. And that means that you are necessary. Good night. See you next time, next week, Tuesday evening at 7 p.m. right here for Community Bible Study.
Let's do this.
I'm giving it all away. No more hiding, no more stalling. I hear you calling me, and I'm coming. See me running. I give in.
Can't keep this thing to myself. Look tired low and I know ain't nobody else. But I'm focused now and I know it's all about you. You always see me through, that's what you do. Tell me where would I go, where would I be? Love's hard to find but you're blind and losing your way. And now ain't nobody else for me, it's just you. You got my time all the time, anytime I'm on you. Laugh at me and they say I'm going too far, but it's satisfying my soul to give you my all. They don't understand what I got is so real. They can talk about me, they can kick me out, but can't take away what you give. People telling me that I'm probably too far gone, but they don't understand where I've been and they walk the road that I walked on. Tell me who I'm gonna call on, what solid ground can I fall on? You everything that I never dreamed of, you give me meaning, it's all on you. You know you got me deep up in this thing, I'm all in. I swear ain't no love like this love that I've been giving. I can't resist, it's just too much, your love is endless. And I don't care what they say no more, no way I did it.